broadcasting and streaming worldwide from the Golf Club Studios, it's the Golf Club Radio Show with Danielle Tucker.
Hi, Danielle. It's Ben Crenshaw.
Ben, it is so good to hear your voice. What a wonderful day. I mean, it's kind of chilly in places, like Volcano Golf Course. It's a lovely 50 degrees. We're all going to go out and play a round of golf. I'll have tee times coming up for you shortly, but we've got a great show for you. Mike Johnson, Senior Equipment Editor, Hot List team member, Golf Digest Magazine, of course, PGA Show. Claude Brousseau, just back from the PGA Show. Claude Brousseau, PGA Master and, of course, Director of Player Development at Wailea Golf Academy. That's on the Emerald Course grounds. Jonathan Wall, Equipment Editor, Golf Magazine, golf.com. His column is Wall to Wall Equipment every Monday with the latest trends and rumors and breaking news. And Bob Herrig, Senior Writer, Sports Illustrated, and now the author of another book. This one's out in March of this year, The Lasting Legacy of Tiger Woods. You can pre-order now. We'll be back with Bob right after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
The Golf Club is brought to you by Pro Camera Hawaii. Quality cameras to capture the memories. Now in the Pro Kai Shopping Center. The Sentry officially kicks off the PGA Tour's 2024 season at Kapalua's Plantation Course, Maui, January 4th through the 7th. Aloha Power Equipment, your landscape superstore. Weed it, whack it, mow it, blow it. We put power at your fingertips. The Honolulu Sign Company, branding banks, shopping centers, businesses, and hotels since 1939. Claude Brousseau, master teaching professional at the Wailea Golf Academy. The Aloha Section PGA, teach your children to play golf, the gift that lasts forever. And Sony Open in Hawaii PGA Tour Golf Tournament starting January 8th through 14th, 2024 at the Wailea Country Club on the island of Oahu.
Good morning. How are you, Danielle? Thanks for having me.
Doing really good. What's the temperature in your world?
I'm in Florida. It's 78 degrees where I am. It's real nice. Yeah.
So you're having a beautiful day. I'm glad.
Yeah. We've not had that much warm weather where I am this winter. This is kind of the last couple of days have been back to where we like.
Yeah, good. I'm glad. I enjoy the cool temperatures of winter. So this is for us. It's 50 degrees is kind of. I don't know about playing golf when it's 50 degrees, but there's an 8:30, a 9:12 open if you'd like to go. The weathermen. That's the name of that group. They're out in the weather and having a great time. Let's talk about your book, Bob. The latest deep dive into Tiger Woods' thrilling career. Tell us a little bit about what inspired you to write this book.
Well, the 2019 Masters victory is sort of what inspired it. That was the original idea to do a deep dive on that, obviously given how historic that was and all that Tiger went through to win that tournament. But as I started thinking about it more, I sort of expanded it into this idea that Tiger's legacy is sort of built around his playing legacy anyway, is built around those sorts of comebacks. You know, that's sort of the title of the book, Drive. That resiliency that is sort of, you know, separates him. And the coming back from major back surgery to win not only a major but three tournaments is really remarkable when you think about what he went through.
Yeah.
He won a U.S. Open when he, you know, on one leg.
Yeah.
He made 142 straight cuts. I mean, nobody's come even close to half of that in his era. And that's because the guy has something else inside that, you know, there's numerous players that will tell you that if they've got it going bad, it's real easy on a Friday to go, you know what, it's not the worst thing in the world if I go home for the weekend and regroup. Well, Tiger never did that. That's how he made all those cuts. It's incredible to think that I think he's 27 years as a pro now, and only 24 missed cuts as a pro. Still.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's just, so these are all sort of the aspects of what's in the book. Obviously, this is the five-year anniversary now of that Masters win in 19, and so a lot of the book is on that. You know, the lead up to that, the surgery, how that all occurred, how it came about, coming back from that. You know, he had a slip. You know, after the surgery, he was in so much pain. He was on a lot of pain meds, and there was that incident where he was by the side of the road. You know, he had to overcome that, and then he had this unbelievable 2018 season that led into him winning the Masters the next year. So that was sort of how it all came together, and you know, I think it's still timely. You know, Tiger's, you know, we expect him to play Riviera in a couple of weeks. We expect him to play the Masters, and I think it's going to be hard for Tiger to be competitive the way he's going about it. But I do also think there's a little bit of hope for some optimism, given the way he talked the last two times we've seen him.
Yeah, one of the final sentences in the synopsis of your book is drive will show the book. Drive will show that Woods' true legacy is one of resolve and redemption. So when you say drive, his drive to win, his decisions that I don't think even is conscious, it's just his being. Was that from his father?
You know, I think it's a combination of a lot of things. I mean, certainly his dad instilled in him something like that, you know. But I don't know how you build that up, that steeliness that he's long had. It's just, you know, kind of a never give up attitude. It's easy to say, but not that easy to practice. And you know, one of the chapters in the book, it seems so benign in the scope of things, but it really sort of highlights what we're talking about here. If you remember the Masters in the fall of 2020, you know, when the COVID Masters, Tiger was the defending champion. On Sunday, he was way out of it, sort of just playing it out, and he made a 10 on the 12th hole, hit it in the water a couple of times, and ended up, you know, making the highest score he's ever made. So at this point, this is going to be his last tournament of the year. He's probably 50th place. There's nothing to play for, really. He probably just wants to get it over with, right? Get to the green jacket ceremony, all that stuff. And what did Tiger do? He birdied five of the last six. You know, I mean, and to shoot 76. Like, the pride that he has, I mean, you know, he was looking at maybe not breaking 80 that day.
Right.
When he make a 10. And the pride that he has is just a great example of his drive. I mean, like, what would motivate him to care that much? And he played with Scottie Scheffler and Shane Lowry in that round. And both of those guys were just blown away by the fact that he played it out that way and some of the shots that he hit. Like Scheffler said, you know, his shot into 16 was you know, it was, he hit it stiff just like he did the year he won, the year before. And they were sort of moved by that. Like, I was surprised when I talked to them. It's why I decided to write a whole chapter on it. I just thought it was one example, and it turns out, like, those guys were moved by that. Like, Lowry uses that as motivation. When he's down, he thinks about that.
Wow.
He's like, how does this guy go back and, you know, do this? So the book is sort of filled with those kinds of anecdotes and stories. And but obviously the main, you know, the wheel is the 2019 Masters.
Yeah. Yeah, and he, if I remember correctly, at one point he said that he wanted to be a military man, kind of like his father. And it's kind of a never-say-die league of the military, where you are undercover all the time and you're always on. And I think from, you know, taking information, always being ready to perform at your highest level. And I see Tiger Woods being that kind of a person when he's in competition. He's always going to go for his highest level possible, even when he's, you know, just put it in the water twice. You know, never say die is pretty much, I think, his mindset, without even thinking about that. A lot of people might go into it thinking, yeah, I'm just going to, but that kind of almost stops you from performing at your highest level when you have to think about it. If it's just part of your DNA, then it just cuts through.
I think Tiger's probably just wired differently than most people. You know, and we know the numbers. You know, we know the great accumulation of trophies and majors and 15 majors. And obviously, we've all known the great talent. There's some credible talent to do what he's done. But there had to be some more. You know, because everybody has down times and everybody has their moments. And Tiger really didn't have that many. You know, if anything, he had his stretches just like anybody where he didn't win as much. But yet he overcame them every single time. I mean, even the crash from 3 years ago now. We're coming up on 3 years from the horrific crash in L.A., and the idea that Tiger returned 14 months later to play in the Masters and make the cut, okay, he didn't win. It's not in his record. It just goes down as whatever he finished that week, 37th, I think, or whatever it was. But, I mean, the guy could barely walk, you know, and it's just sort of another example of – and he gave no indication, to at least outwardly, 6 weeks, 2 months before the Masters that he was even going to play. And then, you know, he kind of surprised us and showed up and actually made the cut. You know, shot 71 the first day. I mean, I know he had a tough weekend, and we saw how he struggled the rest of that year. And then again last year. But here he is now again. He had surgery on his ankle. I think we're all sort of curious to see how he does this year. He's talked optimistically about playing a bit more.
Yeah, and he's an inspiration. Hello, everybody. You know, if you've been damaged, don't say, well, I can't do that, you know. Try, you know, a little time, a little bit of at a time. And, yes, according to Forbes, he's a billionaire, and so he's probably got a lot of people helping him try.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right? But you still have to bring it. They can't give that to you. You've got to bring it. And from that point of view, you know, we've all had our ups and downs. And one day I said, what am I doing? I can do this. I can go back into my exercise class. How come I'm holding myself back? You know, take it easy. Take it one step at a time. Build it up. Build it up. And that's really what we need to do. I'm looking forward to it. I've already pre-ordered my book. I'm really excited about that. I'm surprised at how many different places one can pre-order a book, but you can get it just about, you know, anywhere that you like to do your shopping, your local bookstore or just about, I think it, there's a couple of places that I was really surprised, and I ordered it, and I'm looking forward to getting it, and I can't wait to read it, Bob Herrig. Yeah, and speaking of in the water, we're going to go to the 2024 Farmers Insurance. This is the final day. Wraps up today in San Diego. It's not a Sunday finish. It's a Saturday finish, I guess. It's a kind of a nod to football, right? Pays $1.62 million to the winner. The total purse is $9 million. Is that reasonable for golf? I mean, how can these sponsors put this much money into one person for 4 days of work, $9 million per? That's big.
Well, it's even going to be bigger next week. $20 million at Pebble Beach, and $20 million at the Genesis in a few weeks. And it's sort of why we're at this inflection point right now, because it's gone beyond what really is commercially viable. I've long said that. The top players in golf, the stars of the game, were probably underpaid for their on-course performance. But it's gone too far. Like, it can't, it's not sustainable. If golf is still a niche sport, I mean, you mentioned it. They're finishing today because they don't want to go up against the NFC and AFC championship games tomorrow. All you have to do is look at last weekend. The Tampa Bay-Detroit game, which was a 3 o'clock Eastern start, which is sort of right in the middle of when the Amex is going on, drew like 25 or 28 million people, 28 million viewers. I mean, how is golf supposed to compete against that? I want to watch football. I'm in the golf. I work in golf. I'm watching football. You know, I mean, so what, you know, and look, the Amex ratings were up over year, mainly because, you know, they had a great story. It's a shame, though, that story wasn't playing out when there was nothing going against it.
Yeah.
Nick Dunlop I'm talking about.
Yeah.
You know what their viewership was? It was like under 600,000.
Wow.
Compared to 40 million or 30 million or whatever it was.
Yeah.
And I mean, the night game did even more. And so there was a small window in there where there was no overlap and some people could switch over to the golf. But so my point is that, you know, even when golf's at its best, it's getting, like, the final round of the Masters gets 12 million or 10 million or 13 million. That doesn't even sniff, like, a playoff football game and even some just regular season game. So you're dealing with a sport that doesn't have the same widespread interest. And so now, and I think agents and players seem to think that they deserve some of that type of money. And while I have always said I think they deserve more, it's gone too far. And these $20 million purses are very hard. These sponsors are balking. And so there needs to be a correction probably. And it's why we're talking about, you know, the PIF getting involved, you know, the new entity, trying to find more revenue sources, all to, you know, to keep it going.
Yeah, they think they're shooting themselves in the foot, and it's a real shame. Nick Dunlop, like he, an amateur, he wins. Who did that, Jack Nicklaus?
Jack Nicklaus never won as an amateur. Tiger didn't win as an amateur. Phil did, though. Phil Mickelson was the last one to do it in 1991. And it's an enormous accomplishment. It's a great tribute to him. I mean, to pull that off. I mean, he was going toe to toe with Sam Burns, who's an established player.
Yeah,
he's won several tournaments. He just played in the Ryder Cup, and Sam Burns blinked first. And it's no knock on Sam Burns. It happens. But I mean, look, you know, that's an impressive victory. And now he's going to turn pro. You know, I think there's a part of me that wishes he would have waited until after the college season, like take some time to enjoy the rest of this year as an amateur, you know, get your ducks in a row with your agent and endorsements. And, you know, he's 20 years old. He's about to go out there on his own, and that's quite an adjustment. It's a lot different playing by yourself as opposed to a team. And look, you can't even rent a car. You know, so but again, it's harder to blame him.
Too. No,
like,
yes.
Come on. He's going to play at Pebble Beach next week, and there's a $20 million purse, and there's no cut. You know, he's going to get paid next week. You know, to play for, you know, it's I also think it can be overwhelming if he's not careful, and so we'll see. It's going to be very, very interesting to see how this plays out with him.
Got another question for you before we wrap this one up. Anthony Kim, preparing for his comeback, being out for 12 years, 38 years old, coming back after those injuries knocked him out. What do you think?
Yeah, I guess my attitude is I'll believe it when I see it. You know, golf.com wrote a great story about this. I mean, my sense is where there's smoke, there's fire. There's certainly something going on. But I don't get the sense he's going to play for LIV. That was the broach. Everybody I've talked to there, unless they're really, you know, got their poker faces going. They don't seem to think he's coming out there. The PGA Tour has, you know, they've tweeted some things. They've been quoted saying, look, they'd welcome him back. You know, he'd have some status as a past champion. He'll have no problem getting sponsor invites because of the attention it will bring. So I could see it happening. But, I mean, the other side of it is, and nobody knows the exact details of this, but it's always been out there that he took out an insurance policy on himself due to the possibility of injury. And he couldn't cash in if he ever played again. And it's one of the reasons people think he hasn't come back. And it was believed to be for $10 million. Well, you know, I would think his agent could put together some deal that would at least make up half of that. And if you do anything, you're gonna make the money up.
Yeah.
You know, certainly, and that's why the LIV thing has been floated, because they could just give him the $10 million. You know? So,
and that's the problem.
Right. You know, but again, like, I'm not sure it's a great idea for LIV, because if you put him on a team and he bombs, that's a bad look. And then if you know, they're talking about having some individual spots this year to round out their field. Well, okay, is he only going to play once or twice? Because that was supposed to be sort of a turning over position, which makes some sense. So, you know, I don't know if it makes sense for him to play LIV. But if the tour is willing to welcome him back and place will get, you know, look, there's a lot of tournaments that are not signature events. They would love to have Anthony Kim.
Yeah, absolutely. He's, you know, if you don't remember Anthony Kim, he was hot, and he could be hot again. I hope so. Bob Herrig, senior writer, Sports Illustrated, author, Drive, The Lasting Legacy of Tiger Woods. You can pre-order pbs.org. That's where, seriously, there's lots of places to pre-order Drive, The Lasting Legacy of Tiger Woods. Thank you so much, Bob.
Thanks for having me. Have a great day.
You too. Aloha.
Thank you.
Jonathan Golf Magazine, golf.com. His column is wall to wall. He's back after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
The Golf Club is brought to you by Pro Camera Hawaii. Quality cameras to capture the memories. Now in the Pro Kai Shopping Center. The Sentry officially kicks off the PGA Tour's 2024 season at Kapalua's Plantation Course, Maui, January 4th through the 7th. Aloha Power Equipment, your landscape superstore. Weed it, whack it, mow it, blow it. We put power at your fingertips. The Honolulu Sign Company, branding banks, shopping centers, businesses, and hotels since 1939. Claude Brousseau, master teaching professional at the Wailea Golf Academy. The Aloha Section PGA, teach your children to play golf, the gift that lasts forever. And Sony Open in Hawaii PGA Tour Golf Tournament, starting January 8th through 14th, 2024 at the Wailai Country Club on the island of Oahu.
Jonathan Wall, managing editor, Equipment, Golf Magazine, and Golf.com. His column is Wall to Wall. Equipment every Monday with the latest trends, rumors, and breaking news. Welcome into the clubhouse, Jonathan.
Hey, Daniel. Thanks again for having me.
And good to have you in the clubhouse. You are at Torrey. Where are you? No, you're not at Torrey.
I was earlier this week.
Where did you end up after that?
Normally, my schedule is I'm on site at most of the tour events at the beginning of the week when all the equipment trucks are on site.
Yeah.
And that gives me the best opportunity to talk to the reps that are working with the pros and see what's new. And this week was a little bit different because they start the tournament on Wednesday instead of Thursday, so it's a condensed week. And then Monday they had torrential rains in San Diego, biblical proportions, they were saying, and so that was a washout. So it was a very condensed week for me this week at Torrey.
Okay, well, let's continue. You probably heard Bob Herrig talking about Anthony Kim. What are your thoughts? He wants to play on the tour. Which tour? We don't know, but he doesn't want to lose his. Possibly was a $10 million insurance policy. What are your thoughts on Anthony Kim coming back in the first place? Just start there.
I mean, this is one of those scenarios, Danielle, that I jokingly have been talking to colleagues in the industry. It's always been the big what if. What if Anthony Kim came back? For whatever reason, he's a Yeti. You know, everybody has been talking about the Anthony Kim sightings over the last, you know, 5 to 10 years. I've even heard about him. He lives in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, spends a lot of time here, and that's where I live. And I've seen him out and about. I have heard that he's been playing golf, you know, for 2 week stretches with an instructor, and then he disappeared again. So, yeah, there's a lot of excitement around Anthony Kim coming back because he is one of those players where he sort of left at his apex.
Yeah.
And so many people love watching him play. So I do. I think this is a perfect scenario for him to make a comeback with Liv now in the fold and all this money. Golf has exploded. The purses have exploded since he left. So I don't think the $10 million insurance policy is really going to bother him, even if he has to pay the whole thing back, which it sounds like he's going to have to. The amount of money that he could make from going to Liv, the guaranteed money, the amount of money the PGA Tour is going to throw at him. He still has status as a former winner. And, you know, he's going to get every sponsor's exemption under the sun. So even at 38, having not played in 12 years, I think he's going to be a major draw. I would almost say, and this is going to sound crazy, Danielle, I would think he's probably going to be the closest thing to Tiger Woods as far as a main draw in professional golf. I think if Liv gets them, you're going to get a ton of eyeballs on their coverage. If the tour gets him, they're going to see a major bump in attendance at their event where he plays, and then also on television as well.
Wow. Okay. I love how you called him a Yeti. It's so funny. But yeah, I totally understand what you mean. He's here one moment and he's gone the next. Yes. Anthony Kim. So I just wonder, you know, does he have what it takes to play at the level these guys are playing now?
I don't think so. I think for Anthony to come back after 12 years away, I mean, we've seen what happens when Tiger Woods comes back after an extended absence from injury. You know, he's got a lot of rust to knock off. It takes Tiger time to get his feet under him. And I use Tiger as an example because he's probably the closest thing that we have as far as extended absences. I guess I could say Daniel Berger, who made a return,
yeah,
actually just recently in Palm Springs. You know, he was out for 19 months, but 12 years is so long. The players since Anthony was playing on the tour are light years ahead from his peers when he was in his 20s. I don't think he's going to contend, at least not initially. At his age, distance is going to be a major thing for him, and I just don't think, you know, he was never a really long hitter. He was very accurate. He would go after the ball, but he was never considered one of those true bombers that we saw out on the PGA Tour. So I think it's going to be a lot of fun for him to make his return. There's going to be a lot of excitement and anticipation around Anthony, but I mean, if we're being honest here, I don't think he's going to win any PGA Tour tournaments in the future. Maybe he contends in you know, backdoors a top 10 on a Sunday somewhere along the way. But at 38 years old, you just don't expect a whole lot. This is not going to be the Anthony Kim that everybody remembered when he walked away from the sport.
Exactly my thoughts. And I just, you know, more power to him. He's got to pursue his dream. I get it. So, again, you know, all good. Now, Tony Finau, we're talking equipment now here. Mystery lob wedge, you piqued my interest when I read that. What? What's Tony Finau's mystery lob wedge?
Yeah, this is, I guess, part of the fun about being out on tour the weeks when I'm poking in players' bags. I had a chance to chat with Tony briefly because I noticed he had a lob wedge in there that I had never seen before. It's called a 6109 milled. The 61 stands for 61 degrees, so it's actually it has a touch more loft than your standard lob wedge. But the interesting part for me was I'd never really seen this brand out on the PGA Tour before, and so I talked to Tony, and he told me a really fun story. Back in December, he was just doing some short game work at TPC Scottsdale, and he could hear somebody nearby hitting little wedge shots from about 20 yards. And of course, Tony's an elite player, and he could hear the ball coming off the face and just ripping off that face. And then he would look, and he'd watch this ball, and it would literally hit once and stop.
Wow.
So we turned around to see what was going on, and it was Gabriel Hurtstedt, who Gabriel played on the PGA Tour for a little over a decade. He's a two-time PGA Tour winner. He's since gone on to become an instructor for Kevin Chappell and several other tour pros. Justin Sue, I know, works with him. And so it's one of those – he's become one of those guys where, you know, we've seen some former tour pros become swing instructors. But Gabriel's an interesting character because he always wanted to create his own wedge. And so he came up through his you can go to gabegolf.com and find him. And he decided to come up with his own – design his own wedge. He had gotten interest from a couple smaller manufacturers to have him come on board and design a wedge. He was like, you know what, I want to do it myself. He put his own money in. This is not backed or staked by somebody else that he knows. And so he created his own wedges about 3.5 years ago. And over the years, Adam Scott was really enamored with them, but it was still relatively new. And the wedge he was considering using was one that he wanted to use for Augusta. And Adam was just worried that he wasn't sure how he was going to perform on longer shots. He really liked the way it performed around the green. So he ended up not using it. Justin Rose has used his Gates wedge before for a couple of tournaments. But he really hasn't gotten a lot of traction. But again, just kind of a chance meeting with Tony Finau on the green. He had a wedge head in his bag. He gave it to Tony. Tony built it up. Tony's liked it enough that he's actually asked for 3 more heads.
Wow.
From Gabriel. So, yeah, it is. It's one of those. I love the fact, you know, that the PGA Tour nowadays, Danielle, is full of equipment blue blood, the TaylorMade, Callaway's, things. They control so much of the usage on the PGA Tour that you rarely see the smaller guys making an imprint at all. And so to see somebody like a Tony Finau using a relatively unknown wedge, as I called it, a mystery wedge, out on the PGA Tour and testing it out, and, you know, even considering maybe using it for Augusta, because that's where Gabriel actually designed this wedge, is he wanted to find something that could be good around Augusta. And he said, if you can find a wedge that's good for Augusta, then it could be good everywhere.
Wow.
So there's a possibility you might use it for Augusta. It's a neat little story.
Yeah, it is. It is. It is cool that somebody, you know, banking themselves and making something and then that being used by Tony Finau, that is a very cool story, and it's great to see them getting traction. That's awesome. Now, another one that intrigued me, of course, is Cobra's Dark Speed Drivers. What?
Yeah, this is an interesting one. So Cobra recently released their new Dark Speed lineup for 2024, and it consists of drivers, cherry woods, hybrids, and an iron as well. But I think the last time we talked, Danielle, I had mentioned to you one of the neat things that we're doing here at golf.com is we're doing robotic testing where we're able to test all these drivers on a robot at the same swing speed, but same shaft, same delivery, and we're testing, we're having the robot hit the ball on about 90% of the face. So we're able to get a pretty good idea of how these drivers are performing for different golfer types. And what we found this year in particular, because we're testing all the lofts for all the different models, is that the Cobra Dark Speed Max, this is a draw bias driver with a little bit more weight in the heel, but the 9-degree in particular, especially for golfers who have a high toe miss, which is a very common miss for a lot of golfers, not just high handicappers, but mid handicappers and even some lower handicappers as well. We found that the 9-degree max had almost no distance drop off, which means that if you hit a 250-yard drive out of the center, if you hit it off the high toe, it's going to basically go 250 yards.
Wow.
On a miss here. Yes. Yes. And it's a really cool finding, because These are the kind of findings that we think are beneficial for golfers as they're going to start shopping for new drivers, because I constantly get asked, you know, here's my miss, here's my swing speed, what kind of driver would be good for this miss? And we're actually able to say, hey, look, based on our robotic testing, these 3 or 4 drivers are the ones that you should start with your testing. They may not be the one you end up in, but these are what we've seen to be the best for your particular miss. So it's really fun to be able to do that. Cobra was the first that we released our robotic findings on. And going into next week, we're going to be releasing findings on Ping's G430 Max 10K driver, also TaylorMade's new QI10, Callaway's Paradigm AS Smoke. We did robotic testing videos on all the new drivers, so you can find those on golf.com. We're actually our fully equipped YouTube page now, where we have all of our robotic testing.
Far out, and a YouTube page to boot, so I can see it, right?
Yes.
Yeah. All right. All right. Well, another thing that surprised me was Lexi Thompson deciding to play Max Fly. I was kind of, like, taken aback. Your thoughts, please.
You and me both.
Max Fly. I mean, okay, but why?
Yeah, this Danielle, this is a really interesting story because it kind of goes back to talking about the Tony Finau in a relatively unknown wedge. You know, Max Fly was one of those brands, if for your listeners out there who been around golf for a minute, you probably remember back in the 90s, Max Fly was a major brand, especially, you know, even on the PGA Tour was a major brand. And what happened to Max Fly is what's happened to a lot of brands from that time, which is they simply ran out of money. Other manufacturers just continued to keep developing, and they sort of, Max Fly just became a much smaller company. They eventually were acquired by TaylorMade. And then back in 2008, Dick's Sporting Goods acquired Max Fly as their in-house brand of golf balls. Now, I think a lot of people think when they see that a Dick's Sporting Goods, no offense to them, but, you know, you see Max Fly is now the in-house brand for Dick's Sporting Goods. People start to think that it's an inferior brand to a lot of products. But we've actually seen that Max Fly, even with the Dick's Sporting Goods backing, is a really good golf ball. I mean, it's designed well. It has really tight tolerances, meaning that from golf ball to golf ball, we don't see a lot of deviations in flight and spin and launch. So that tells you that their quality control is really good. But, you know, at the end of the day, the only way that you're ever going to really capture an audience is by having a golf ball out on the PGA Tour or the LPGA Tour. I think that's what Max Fly is trying to do now, is they're trying to capture a larger audience. They realize they have a good product. And how do you do that? You need to get a PGA Tour, an LPGA Tour player, somebody who's notable to use your product, and that's exactly what they're doing for the 24 season by signing Lexi Thompson. This is a golf ball-only deal. She's also going to have the Max Fly signage on her hat and I believe also on her golf bag. But she's going to be specifically playing their golf ball for this season, and we'll see what happens. You know, I go back to when Bubba Watson – several years back, he switched from his titles golf ball to a Boldy ball, and that deal didn't last very long because he was so used to that titleless ball that it was really difficult for him to get comfortable and to find some sort of a level of trust in that Boldy ball. So that's what I'm interested to see, is how does Lexi Thompson perform early on with a brand new ball, because she's been playing at Bridgestone for so long that she knows that ball like the back of her hand, whereas the Max Fly is, at least for the moment, a little bit of an unknown.
Yeah, yeah. And she did say that, you know, she liked it. She liked the feel, and I thought, well, if you like it, go for it, you know. And that was your input, that it's a good ball. That's excellent. It's a shame that they went through the the transition that so many companies do, where they're at the top and then all of a sudden they're at the bottom and they run out of money and they can't do anything. So, but this is, that's good. Awesome. Very nice. I'm curious about the interview you did with Scotty Cameron, the one-on-one. And, of course, there are lots of Tiger Woods stories that always intrigues me. But is there a place we can hear them?
Yes. Yeah, so Danielle, I've been doing, if I go back to when I first started here, after I left the PGA Tour and started at Golf Magazine, golf.com, I started my own podcast, and it was literally just me interviewing luminaries within the industry, and I just love that we've been able to expand the voices on our fully equipped podcast. It's a gear-only podcast, although we do have a tendency to go off the rails. We have four different voices, typically myself hosting the show, and then we have my colleague Ryan Barath, who is a former fitter and has just such an extensive equipment background. And then Gene Parenti, who I mentioned, our robotic testing, Gene is the owner and founder of Golf Laboratories. So he provides the insights from the robotic side, and he's been, again, somebody who's been in the industry for decades. So he knows all the stories, he knows all the major players. And then Chris McCormick from TrueSpec is also another guy on our pod, and he is the lead fitter at TrueSpec Golf, works with a lot of PGA Tour players on their gear, is very knowledgeable about fitting and all the new equipment and how it pertains to regular golfers as well. So we have all these fun voices, but one of the neat things that I really love is over the last few years, I've been interviewing a lot of really key people in the industry and spending not just, you know, 20 or 30 minutes with them, but spending hours. I spent almost an hour and 45 minutes with Scotty Cameron talking putters, how he got into the industry, his love of furniture design, which I don't think a lot of people realize. He's a big car buff and, of course, works with Tiger Woods. So you can find our podcast. It's on all the major podcast platforms. It's called Fully Equipped. And then we also now are delivering the full podcast on our Fully Equipped YouTube page as well. So if you like to listen and actually watch our ugly mug as we do the podcast, you can do that as well. But the Scotty one was a lot of fun, and the Tiger story. If we have time, I could probably tell one that's a story I'd never heard, but I don't want to take up too much time on that. But if we had time, I could probably tell it.
Well, do start now.
Okay, well, so I've heard a lot of stories about Scotty and Tiger over the years. Obviously, their relationship started prior to the 1997 Masters when Tiger broke or tied 27 records that week at Augusta. And the putter that he used that week at the Masters in 1997 was called a Scotty Cameron Newport Torellian. For people that remember that one, it had a bronze insert in the face that was very unmistakable. Now, I mentioned this putter because next to the putter that Tiger used for all 14 of his major wins, it's called a Scotty Cameron Newport 2 GSS. The Torellian is the next most important putter that Tiger has ever used. So Scotty told me a story back in 1999 when Tiger was playing in San Diego at the Buick Invitational at Torrey Pines. And Scotty was watching the coverage on TV, and he says he watched Tiger. Tiger was 9 shots off of Lee Daniel going into the weekend. And he shot 62 on Saturday, but he missed a putt during his round of 62. And in frustration, he hit his putter against his staff bag. And Scotty was watching the coverage, and he turned to one of his colleagues, and he said, "We're going to get a phone call." And he said 2 hours later, he's on the grinding wheel, and Tiger Woods calls him and says, "Hey, Scotty, my putter is messed up. I need you to fix it." Well, Scotty Cameron was supposed to go with his wife and 4-year-old daughter to see the Harlem Globetrotters in downtown San Diego that night.
Wow!
So he loads up his Loft and Lye machine. He bolts it into the back of his pickup truck. He gets a tool chest. He gets a flashlight, which this will be very important later on. He drives, picks up his wife, who he said was madder than hell that they had to go to downtown San Diego to help fix this PGA Pro's putter. He pulls in, he picks up the Tiger Woods' putter from the bellhop stand, takes it down into a subterranean parking garage where, you know, you know parking garage is very dimly lit.
Yes.
And Scotty proceeds over the next 15 minutes underneath this dimly lit light with his 4-year-old daughter holding a flashlight so that he could see what he was doing. He proceeds to get the neck back in place on Tiger Woods' putter. He returns it back to the bellhop stand, and he said, "Damned if he didn't win the tournament the next day." Tiger made an eagle on the 18th hole to win by 2 shots over Billy Ray Brown, and I was cackling as I'm listening to the story because this is like one of those Scotty Cameron stories I had never heard, but it's true, and we have the audio up on our Instagram page of Scotty retelling this story. But it was so great, Danielle, to spend time with him. But that story, that one story of his relationship with Tiger, he said whenever Tiger would call him, he would jump. He said, "To this day, if Tiger called me right now, I would jump." And it was one of those times where he had to jump.
The Harlem Globetrotters. Well, Tiger
he still made it, by the way. He still made it to the Globetrotters with his 4-year-old daughter and his wife.
That is an awesome story. God, that is absolutely fantastic. Now, what can we – it's Fully Equipped, right? That's the name of your podcast.
The podcast is called Fully Equipped, and this week's episode is my sit-down with Scotty Cameron. I would say, and I, you know, look, people have done a great job telling stories Jason Sobel, who used to work for ESPN, now works for Action Network. He did an unbelievable job doing a story years ago when he was at ESPN on Tiger and his putter. But I would say that if you've never heard Scotty tell stories, this is probably the most open and honest and real he's ever been. I even asked him about his future at Scotty Cameron and how much longer he wants to do this. It's probably the best interview, in my opinion. And again, I'm biased, but I think it's the best interview that you're going to ever hear. He told so many great stories about his time at Scotty Cameron and just so many things that you normally just don't hear him hear because he's constantly talking about new product. And I try and get a lot of these luminaries to talk more about themselves and their background. And I did a similar one with Mike Taylor, who worked with Tiger Woods during their time at Nike Golf. We spent almost 2 hours talking. So I try to do some of these when I can. They're a labor of love, but they are. They're so much fun to do, and I really enjoy them. And for the most part so far, knock on wood, my interviewees have been unbelievable and given great stories along the way.
Jonathan Wall, equipment managing editor, equipment, Golf Magazine and Golf.com. His column is Wall to Wall Equipment every Monday with the latest trends and the rumors and the breaking news. And his podcast is Fully Equipped, and you've got to hear that interview with Scotty Cameron. I say that because I've got to hear that interview with Scotty Cameron. Thank you for taking time out this morning, this afternoon. What time is it where you are?
It's almost noon. I'm headed to see my youngest daughter play some basketball.
Right on.
Thank you again, Danielle, for having me on. I appreciate it.
Absolutely, Jonathan Wall. Aloha. We're going to come back with Claude Brousseau, PGA Master, Director of Player Development, Wailea Golf Academy, right after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
The Golf Club is brought to you by Pro Camera Hawaii, quality cameras to capture the memories, now in the Pro Kai Shopping Center. The Sentry officially kicks off the PGA Tour's 2024 season at Kapalua's Plantation Course, Maui, January 4th through the 7th. Aloha Power Equipment, your landscape superstore. Weed it, whack it, mow it, blow it. We put power in your hips. The Honolulu Sign Company, branding banks, shopping centers, businesses, and hotels since 1939. Claude Brousseau, Master Teaching Professional at the Wailea Golf Academy. The Aloha Section PGA. Teach your children to play golf, the gift that lasts forever. And Sony Open in Hawaii PGA Tour Golf Tournament starting January 8th through 14th, 2024 at the Wailea Country Club on the island of Oahu.
Let's give you some tee times. Big Island at Makalea, there's a 906 and a 1010. Volcano Golf Club has a 912. The weathermen are out in the chilly temperatures. Get on out with them. May you all hit the sweet spot every time. Poipu Bay has a 1220 and a 1 o'clock. And hey, Southside Men's Club, so good to know you're on the course. Kauai Lagoons has a 1008 and an 1136. Turtle Bay, 850, 936, 12 o'clock. Raw Hawaiian Country Club, 850, 1020, 1108. Eva Beach Golf Course, 1048, 1228. Bayview, 906 and 1018. And on Maui, there is the sold-out course. You would be at Maui Nui, excuse me. Maui Nui, sold out, the Better Half Club. They're out. Better Half, who's the Better Half? I bet that's the conversation that comes up occasionally. The Blue Course has a 10 o'clock, 11:20, 11:30. That's at Wailea. The Gold Course has a 1:50. Emerald Course is sold out. And that's where Claude Brousseau's Wailea Golf Academy is. So, you know, if you're up there, you need to drop in and see Claude Brousseau. He'll be with us next. My name is Danielle Tucker.
The Golf Club is brought to you by Pro Camera Hawaii, quality cameras to capture the memories, now in the Pro Kai Shopping Center. The Sentry officially kicks off the PGA Tour's 2024 season at Kapalua's Plantation Course, Maui, January 4th through the 7th. Aloha Power Equipment, your landscape superstore. Weed it, whack it, mow it, blow it. We put power at your fingertips. The Honolulu Sign Company, branding banks, shopping centers, businesses, and hotels since 1939. Claude Brousseau, Master Teaching Professional at the Wailea Golf Academy. The Aloha Section PGA. Teach your children to play golf, the gift that lasts forever. and Sony Open in Hawaii PGA Tour Golf Tournament starting January 8th through 14th, 2024 at the Wailai Country Club on the island of Oahu.
Call 808-856-9458. Claude, you've just returned. I can't believe you flew to the PGA show, and you've flown back all within this week.
That's correct, Danielle. So I just came home last night around 6:30-ish, and it's just, you know, that's so exciting to go at the PGA show. So I'm full of energy, even if, you know, I wake up at 2:30 a.m., in Orlando to catch the fly at like 5 or 6 a.m. and but it's what you need to do to make sure you learn and from the best and see what's going on. So we want to, for me, a goal in my life is making sure, because we're in the middle of the Pacific, but everybody around here couldn't access the top expertise, because when you go at that PGA show, that's, you got the best in the world, and I want to learn from them.
Absolutely. Claude Brousseau is ranked number one, 2024-2025, best teacher in the state of Hawaii by Golf Digest. This is the third time in a row. He's a PGA Master, a talent contributor with Sports Illustrated, Golf Digest instructor, Flight Scope certified professional, Aim Point Level 3 certified instructor, Vision 54 authorized coach, V1 Sport coach ambassador. And just looking at the list of the conferences, the PGA Master Lunch, Aim Point Express, Read Simplify, More Accurate, Open Forum, the Competitive Junior Training, the who was there? Kim Llewellyn, Deacon, J.C. Deacon, Nick Clinard, going from junior to collegiate golf. You were soaking it all in.
Oh, yes, Danielle. And it's, you see, like, is your junior ready for collegiate golf? Kim, JC, and Nick. Kim, it's at Wake Forest. They won the national NCAA title this year. JC Deacon is at the Gators in Florida. They won for the men's. And then Nick is at Auburn's. So those are the three top Division I coach in the country. So wow. Hearing from them what they're looking for when they recruit, you know, it helped here the junior in Hawaii. So I'm more aware, and of course I'm friends with Kim, but it helps to see what they're looking for and how we can guide the junior here that are interested to go in maybe a scholarship. One of the most important thing, and I need to share that with your parents that are listening, but also the junior, it's very important to play high school golf. And the reason they were giving, that's one highlight of the conference, but one highlight is that it's important to play high school golf because it they like to have a team mindset.
Yes.
For the players. It's not all about you. You're in the team. You will represent the university you play for. So I will encourage kids that say, oh, I don't play AGG, you know, the tournament outside. It's good if you could do it. I mean, there's nothing like playing competition. However, that's very important that the junior play the high school golf.
Excellent. I also like the topic here, simplifying human movement in golf coaching.
Yes, this one is great as well. These two doctors are like a kinesiologist. You see those big term, I got difficulty in English with them, but these guys are just, you know, specialized on how to move your body, but not just for golf, but those movement that they help you to do will help you to be better in your golf swing. And they were sharing a story about, I forgot which tournament, one of the pro that they helped was doing that warm-up type of, and it's, everybody can do it. it's not with the club necessarily. And then everybody was looking at that player and asking, what is he doing over there? But it prepare your body to be an athlete, because you're an athlete first, then you're a golfer second.
Right on, right on.
If I can add something on the recruiting, it's very interesting because when your junior high, the other one, competitive junior training, Kevin Week was the PGA National Teacher of the Year last year, and he was saying, and all of them basically, if parents are too toxic, this is the differentiator if they will take the junior or not. So that's a good message for the parents here.
Did they define toxic?
Yeah, meaning like, you know, let's say as an example, the kid is doing a swing and he's turning his head to make sure that their parents will not, you know, give them a bad attitude or be, you know, living their, I will summarize it this way. Parents that live their dream of becoming a player through their children, and then the children are not performing, and then the parents get too hard on the children.
Yes,
that's
absolutely.
How I will give, and I will give that a general definition of it, if you want.
Yes, absolutely. I think it's really important for parents to take a step back and let the child be themselves and take their instruction from their coach, and not the attitude from the parent. You know, you've got to be really careful, because children pick up on all kinds of stuff that you don't give them credit for picking up on. You know, they really feel.
Correct.
Yeah.
So the parents, just the last line, the parents need to be in the team, but they I like it. They say, okay, the decision maker here is kind of, you know, in quote, is the children. Regarding how he plays golf or she's playing golf.
Yeah, yeah. You also got to see a whole lot of things, and I was looking at this one, a cooler for the cart with a blower for your cold beverages. Everybody takes their cold beverages. Yes? So,
yes. It's pretty cool because you can use that cooler, and then on the top there's two fans, because you know it's cold and you got ice. So if it's too warm, you put that in the basket behind, you know, on the golf cart, and then you can blow that fresh air on you.
Wonderful. Two in one. You keep everything cold, and you get a little air conditioning at the same time.
Correct. Correct. Then. Other thing that I thought that I need to share about is this. I met this gentleman. He reinvented or readapted, I will say it's a better word, a golf cart for people who are limited with their lower body, you know, like a solo golf cart. But this one is called Vert T Cart. So basically, it's a three-wheeler, like a solo cart. However, the design of the seat allowed the players to stand up. That's amazing, Danielle.
Wow.
Then you can do the shots. Then you just press a button, and the seat goes down again. Then you just move on to the next one. And this gentleman gave me a demonstration, like even with this cart, he went into a fairly severe hill. Then, okay, you know, from a sitting position, you press one button, then the device puts you up, like, you know, feet are attached to a device, but you're standing up as the player, and then if it's too steep, the cart is making a sound that you will swing at your wrist here.
Wow, what
an interesting thing.
Danger, danger.
Cool.
Yeah, that is a cool. How about, can you take the cart on the green?
Yes. Wow. Like the other cart, you know, here at Wellia, we have a cart for, I'll call that, challenge people that cannot walk. We do have them, and then they go on the green and putt, and that's pretty cool.
Yeah, that is. And then finally, on gadgets, the huge drone to apply the fertilizer.
I'm walking, you know, and this year was the show was at its full again, you know. like before COVID, they had like almost 1,000 exhibitors.
Wow.
It was so busy with people, Daniel. You can see I'm still on adrenaline from the week. Some days was difficult to find a parking place at the convention center in Orlando. I'll give you an idea. So I'm walking around and I see that big thing there. That's a drone. It's for maintenance. And then this thing can carry like 40 like a container, of course, 40 gallons of liquid to spread over the course, and or 250 pounds of let's say of material that you need to move around, and then you don't put anything on the grass, you know, no trace on the grass. If it's wet, then you need to maintain. So I said, wow, what a cool thing.
Yes. I mean, that's the beauty of it. You know, the people who are making these things, they come up with these ideas, and they get to, at the PGA show, they get to show their stuff to thousands of people, and it's wonderful. I had one lady who was going to be on the show, but someone asked her at the show to do a trunk showing, you know, and she's like, I'm sorry, but I really have to take advantage of this moment because it can be very lucrative. You go. be successful. It's totally awesome. And then, of course, for your mind, you had the discussion with coaches.
Oh man, Danielle, one of the most profound, I will say, it was with the. He was in the panel, you know, at the forum. The forum, just to give you an idea, is expert after expert and panel from 5:30 p.m. to midnight.
Wow.
Could you imagine? It's like, you know, drinking from a fire hose of expertise in golf. But it was, I mean, Daniel is so great for a mind like mine.
Yeah.
But Sean Foley, I mean, that was like, profound about human being and how the instruction could move more on, okay, towards the potential of respecting who's the player and help them to have more balanced life about, okay, playing golf, even for a living. You know, he says, I had players, they had, you know, trouble at home or, you know, eating disorder and all that stuff. But I like what he said. He said, I'm paraphrasing here, but he says, when I was younger, and if you know Sean a bit about him, he says, and he used this word, my dad knew I was deep. And he let me explore that aspect of me, and then it allowed me to be who I am, and just that level of conversation with one of the best coaches in the world. I mean, you can just have that if you go with the PGA.
Yeah. And Parker McLaughlin was one of the coaches, Hawaii's Parker.
Yes.
That is great. Gosh.
Yeah, that's great. And if I can just add, it was so interesting, you know, like on the PGA Tour, the revamping of the short game of Victor Hovland. And one of his coaches was there to explain how they adapt for him. It doesn't mean it for everybody else. And so Jeff Mayo was his coach for the short game and transform Victor short game. And they was explaining how they went about it. I mean, it's priceless, Danielle, to be able to be around people like that.
Yeah, it absolutely is. This is Claude Brousseau. He has produced 38 videos with Golf Channel. They are available at no cost on his website. And it's claude4bestgolf.com. You just click on the tab and you see the videos. He's also produced 18 videos with Sports Illustrated, and that's si.com. And no, they're not out of business. Okay, that's 18 videos with Sports Illustrated, si.com. Really simple. Just so much knowledge in Claude. You need to take advantage. He's right here in Hawaii. He's on the Emerald Course. It's Wailea Golf Academy. And I gave you the best ways to get in touch with him. And, of course, I've lost the sheet where I have that all typed out.
I can repeat it for you if you want, Danielle. I'll be your caddy on this one, my friend. So you can go at waleagolf.com, or you can email me, C. Brusso, my last name, Brusseau, at waleagolf.com, or you can call my number at 808-856-9458.
You do that better than I did. That's fantastic.
No, you're the expert. We're a team, Danielle. I'm so happy to be on your show. I mean, it's a privilege.
And you'll be back. Thank you so much, Claude Brusseau, Master PGA, PGA Master. Excuse me. I'm always going the see what I mean? Director of Player Development, Wailea Golf Academy, ranked number one teacher in the state of Hawaii by Golf Digest, list of best teachers, third time in a row for 2024-2025. And he was also the best teacher back 2019-2020. So, you know, you just are on a roll, Claude Brusseau. Thank you for being in the clubhouse.
Thank you so much, Danielle. Aloha.
Aloha. Mike Johnson, 26 years at Golf Digest. I think this is so cool. I've been doing this show for 26 years. Mike Johnson, Senior Equipment Editor, Hot List team member with us after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
The Golf Club is brought to you by Pro Camera Hawaii. Quality cameras to capture the memories. Now in the Pro Kai Shopping Center. The Sentry officially kicks off the PGA Tour's 2024 season at Kapalua's Plantation Course, Maui, January 4th through the 7th. Aloha Power Equipment, your landscape superstore. Weed it, whack it, mow it, blow it. We put power at your fingertips. The Honolulu Sign Company, branding, banks, shopping centers, businesses, and hotels since 1939. Claude Brusseau, master teaching professional at the Wailea Golf Academy. The Aloha Section PGA, teach your children to play golf, the gift that lasts forever. And Sony Open in Hawaii PGA Tour Golf Tournament, starting January 8th through 14th, 2024 at the Wailea Country Club on the island of Oahu.
And welcome into the clubhouse, Mike Johnson, Golf Digest, Senior Equipment Editor, Hot List team member. Welcome in.
Well, Danielle, you shorted me a couple years. I'm coming up on 28, not 26.
Oh. So, okay, I've got some catching up to do.
But I'm okay with 26 because I don't want anyone at work thinking I'm old.
No. You're never old, Mike. But I got to start with something. The LAB Golf shrinks the putter. As the CEO of one of the golf's hottest putter companies, Sam Hahn was in a favorable spot while watching the Sony Open in his living room 2 weeks ago. Tell us about that. That is very cool.
Well, I mean, Lab Golf's a great story. You know, their putters are slowly catching on, and I think it's a great indicator of how if you come up with something that's truly innovative and truly works, people can get over the look, which is not, as you know, being a golfer, look is a very important part. How many times have you seen someone walk into a golf shop or a golf store, pick something up, put it down, be like, ooh, can't look at that.
Right.
But, I mean, you know, Lab with their Mez 1 and with their DF3, which looks like a branding iron, but it but it performs and has great technology behind it. And it's kind of like one of the things I'm really pleased with our Hot List panel. This year, the DF3 made the Hot List, getting a 5 out of 5 in performance.
Wow.
While only getting a 3.5 in look, sound, and feel. And it says to me that if it performs, it gets prettier in a hurry.
Yes, yes. I'm starting to love the look of you. Young Hoon An and Grayson Murray both were playing with the LAB Golf Wand. You know, and that's two of the three guys in the playoff. And that must. It's when did they start making this?
Well, I mean, Lab Golf's been around for a while. I mean, it was, went under the name of Directed Force for a while. It's not new. The DF3 is an offshoot of the old Directed Force putter, which has been used on and off. Adam Scott tried the Directed Force, and then obviously he went to the Lab Mez 1 and has had success with it. But what it really talks to is just stability. All their putters are based on this idea of very high stability. And if you have, I will never say any tour pro experiences grief on the greens. They experience grief on the greens relative to the excellence of other, I would kill the putt like Adam Scott.
Right.
He would kill the putt like Jordan Spieth. when you're trying to knock in those 3-4 footers and do so with authority, having that extra stability is really crucial.
Wow. Well, that's cool. That's cool. I hope it gives some people some ideas about checking out some of the things that aren't TaylorMade or whatever your favorite company is.
Absolutely. It's one of the fun parts of my job is, sure, we got to cover all those, and they make great products. They have incredible R&D departments, and they do really interesting things with design and materials. But when you find something outside of what people expect and you realize that it's meaningful, they explain it well to you, they explain, what I like to say is my threshold is tell me what you did, why you did it, who it works for, and why it's significant.
There you go.
And when you check all four of those boxes, you usually have a pretty good product.
You have kind of changed up a little bit the hot list after, an upgrade. Tell us what the upgrade was. It was so good to begin with.
Exhaustion. this is by far the most robust hot list we've ever done. And it's kind of born out of, the question Mike Stachura, my partner in this project, and I deal with all the time is people, readers, right, what club should I play? And that's an impossible question to answer because I've never seen you swing. we have there are 20 handicappers who swing 105 miles an hour with a driver, and there are 20 handicappers who swing 75 miles an hour with a driver. So we sat down, we're like, we always like the hot list as a guide to try to narrow your choices. How can we narrow those choices even further for the reader? So this year, instead of just gold medals and silver medals, and this is what you got in performance, this is what you got in innovation, this is what you got in look, sound, and feel, we've listed 4 bullet points for characteristics of each club. We've listed what we, for lack of a better phrase, internally call a superlative, which is where did this club excel and in what area and for what player group. So it may be among the top 5 highest flying fairway woods for mid handicaps, or top 5 lowest spinning drivers for fast swingers. So we feel that's helpful and directional. And then we've also had what we, again, internally call vectors, which is, it's a scale. It's not a good or bad. Was it quiet? Where did it fall on the quiet to loud scale? Where did it fall on the low flight to high flight scale? Where did it fall on the workable to forgiving scale? Again, I think if people really dive in and dig into that, they will be able to narrow down their own choices. We also expanded it to where in drivers, fairway woods, and hybrids, where there are multiple models, we used to just kind of write about the family as a group. Now we have dedicated individual write-ups to each and every model to further inform and educate and hopefully help you out.
Wow. Okay. So you're really getting down. I just lost the page that I'm on at golfdigest.com. And if you go there, golfdigest.com, Hot List 2024, and you can go to the driver, you can go to the wedge, you can go to the putters, irons, hybrids, fairway woods. It's all there, and you just click on the photo, I believe. I'm trying to make it work for me. Of course, my computer is acting just so. Yeah, there it gave it to me. It just really, really doesn't want to go fast. So drivers 2024. And then nothing in golf changes your attitude more than an obliterated tee shot. Golfers walk taller, strut faster when they've outdriven members of their foursome. Isn't that the truth? You know, they become little peacocks.
Yes. Some of my best writing right there.
Yes. So, but you've got it down to performance is 50%. Of the score. Look, sound, and feel is 20%. Innovation is 30%. How did that change from the last years?
That's exactly the same, but what we did is we've expanded our panel. 2 years ago, we had 16 players. This year, we have 32 players.
Great.
A lot of the additions were in kind of the 12 to 15 handicap range because we just felt that better reflected the audience at large. We also added fitters. We've always had, for the last decade or so, two fitters on site. This year we had five. And they stayed with their group of players, so they really got to know them, really helped them dial in. Because if you're not dialed into the club, is it the club or is it you? So we wanted to take that variable out as much as humanly possible. And then finally, you know, we partnered with Rapsodo with their MLM2 Pro launch monitor. We captured over 24,000 full swing shots and used that data. Our player panelists delivered us over 150,000 words of player comments. So what you see in the final presentation is really just a smidge of the information that we took in when making these decisions.
Wow. That's a lot of work. No wonder you said it was exhausting.
As Erin Brockovich said, I'm a little tired.
Well, it looks beautiful. I'm looking at the best drivers innovation. So tell us, you know, best drivers innovation, best drivers. Tell us the difference.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's hard to tell differences, but everyone's got a story, right? I mean, TaylorMade continues down the path of carbon composite faces, but they're reaching out in the MOI game, as is Ping, you know, achieving a total MOI, moment of inertia, in layman's terms. Most people say it's stability. That's a bit of a misnomer. It's really mitigating ball speed loss on off-center hits. And both TaylorMade and Ping with its G430 Max 10K have gotten 10,000 total MOI. So a very stable, very forgiving driver. Callaway, on the other hand, has got a great face story where they have what they call micro deflections. So the back of the face, while the front of the face just looks like a normal face, behind it looks almost like ski moguls. And what they've been able to do through the use of machine learning and AI is come up with a topography for each individual face that maximizes not just the center of the face, but several areas of the face. You know, Cobra has an interesting story, leaning on an old bridge design from Leonardo da Vinci in the 1500s, which they have a single bar welded onto a single post, low internally, that helps produce face flex. So when we get into the short strokes to talk about innovation, I think our main thing is, are you entering a new corner of design? Are you doing something that's truly different and significant? And because, you know, every club on the list is doing a lot of things well, but there are a handful that are doing things above and beyond and kind of opening a new door of innovation.
Interesting. You know, one day we'll just hold the club, and it will do the reading of the distance and everything, and then it'll just kind of swing itself.
But then it won't be any fun.
Oh, it'll will be fun watching the ball fly.
You know, it's kind of like Christmas every day. It would cease to be special.
This is true. But I'm looking, you know, at the Hot List Gold, and Callaway, of course, is the C, so it's first, and then it comes Cleveland and Cobra and Mizuno, and, you know, it's not like some one manufacturer got gold. They all these different clubs have Schrixon, TaylorMade, all of them are Titleist, have drivers that are in the gold category. So
yeah, and I think that's a main reason why we don't want it to be youth soccer where everyone gets a participation trophy.
Yeah.
But the fact is we're discerning degrees of excellence, and that's why I think we opted to go for a deeper dive in. If you can get past the medal and the initial, you know, really dig into the other stuff. And what we're really saying is there are differences among these drivers, and each driver has an audience for them. And if you do the work and really read through everything,
exactly,
you're going to say, yeah, that's me. I mean, another improvement we made this year with our comments, in the past they were always anonymous. This year we tell you the name of the comment, the age of the player.
Right on.
The name of the tester, the age of the tester, and the handicap of the tester. And maybe that allows you to say, hey, that sounds like me.
Yeah, yeah, I can relate. Absolutely. Well, obviously, you know, we only have a couple of minutes left because we end the show at, let's see, what time is it? Your time, 1:30?
Coming up on it,
yeah.
My laundry's almost done.
I'm glad I had something fun for you to do while you're doing your laundry. You know, the Hot List is the premier buying guide, Golf Digest Hot List. It's undergone, as we've been talking about, an upgrade after two decades, emphasis on answering the question, which club is right for me? And below each one of the clubs, too, there's a description, for instance, under the Titleist TSR4, this model has been most forward, center of gravity of any TSR model, tends to produce the lowest spin. A movable weight in front and back allows for extreme and moderate spin reduction settings. The variable thickness face favors similar ball speed across a wider area of the face, 8, 9, and 10 degrees with a 16-way adjustable hosel. So that gives you a whole lot of information on that one particular driver. And all of the drivers have those kinds of descriptions, and that goes for the fairway woods, the hybrids, the irons, the wedges, the putters. You should really go to golfdigest.com to, you know, inform yourself so that when you go down to the store, you take a look at them and say, do I like the look? Does it feel good in my hand, et cetera, et cetera? Let me hit the ball. And then you can make a really informed decision making that purchase. Well,
yeah, absolutely, and I can't stress enough, if you can, go get fit. I'm really tired of hearing people say, I'm not good enough to get fit. Everybody is good enough to get fit for their club.
Yeah, I like that. You know, I'm not good enough to go. No wonder you're not good enough. You're not fit.
You have ill-fit clubs.
It's like wearing ill-fit trousers, right? They're dragging
exactly behind
your feet. That's one obvious one. So we need to talk again because I didn't get to talk to you about the ball rollback and your thoughts on that one. And,
oh, I have no opinion on that.
You have no opinion. I don't believe you. Mike Johnson, 28 years of Golf Digest, senior equipment editor, Hot List team member. Thank you for being inside the clubhouse.
Anytime, Danielle.
Thank you. You too. Aloha. All right. I never got to the, you know, so, Danielle, come on. It's 2024. Partly cloudy, isolated to scattered showers, high 77 to 82, and the winds are still southwesterlies, 15 to 20 miles per hour. The low tonight will be between 63 and 68, so we're still getting those blanket temperatures, which so wonderful to have. There's a high wind warning until 6 o'clock this evening for the Big Island summits. Okay, the summits. It's also going to be mostly sunny to partly cloudy. Isolated showers, high 78 to 80. Do I sound the same? Southwesterlies, 10 to 20 miles per hour. We're going to have southwesterlies for a while, then it's going to be variables. Thank you to the people who make this show possible. Would you please support our sponsors, Pro Camera Hawaii, quality cameras to capture the memories. Their staff help you find what you need, don't know what to choose. Give a gift card. You can get a present for somebody that will blow their mind. It's all at the Pearl Kai Shopping Center. Aloha Bow Equipment, your landscape superstore. You can make your work a whole lot easier with smarter tools. So weed it, whack it, mow it, blow it with the best. They put power at your fingertips. The Honolulu Sign Company, branding banks and shopping centers, businesses and hotels since 1939. You can't do without being branded. Go get yours branded right away. The Aloha Section PGA, teach your children to play golf. It's a gift that lasts forever. I'm Danielle Tucker, and this is The Golf Club.
You've been listening to the award-winning Golf Club radio show with Danielle Tucker on the Golf Club Network statewide. Tune in next week, and we'll tee it up together only on The Golf Club.
Copyright 2024.